What if I told you that a third of Sweden's national soccer players weren't even considered elite as teenagers? And some skipped youth national teams entirely. In today's episode of Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families, we're unpacking research shared by Steve Magnuson that challenges one of the biggest myths in youth sports, that you have to be great early to succeed later. If you're a parent worried your child isn't on the right team, if you're an athlete wondering why everyone else seems to be ahead of you, or if you're a coach feeling pressure to identify talent at age 10, this conversation might completely shift your perspective on what the path to elite actually looks like. Because the data tells us something powerful. Development is not linear, it's individual. And sometimes the late bloomers become the ones that last the longest. Welcome to Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. I'm your host, Valerie Alston, here to help parents and young athletes spark meaningful dialogue about mental toughness, resilience, and confidence. Whether you're headed to practice, a game, or just running errands around town, this podcast is your go-to for building stronger relationships and lifelong skills, one car ride at a time. Let's dive in. So today's episode is going to be a little bit different because there's a particular post that I saw on social media that I found pretty interesting that I think is going to be pretty fascinating for both kids and parents and coaches listening to this. And I'll put the direct link to this post. It's an Instagram. Steve Magnus put together the post, so I'm using that as the talking point for today. But what it is, he's describing research that was done in Sweden for understanding where elite players come from and just looking at Sweden's system of youth development and trying to figure out for all of their upper level players, specifically in soccer, like how did they come to being on the nation's team? So being on Sweden's soccer team or any of their elite teams, again, soccer focused. So the simple question they were trying to assess and answer is, what does the path to elite actually look like? And this, what they found goes against some of what we subscribe to in the US. So the data showed that there were three distinct pathways. 34% of the people playing on the national soccer teams took an early pathway, meaning they debuted for a national team sometime between U15 and U16 level. Okay. 33% took a middle pathway, debuting sometime between U17 and U18 at the national level. And then another 33% took a later pathway, debuting at the national level at like U21 or going straight to the senior team. And so it was almost a perfect three-way split. And 12% of Sweden's senior internationals had zero junior international experience before making the senior team. And they skipped every youth national level before making it to the senior team. And so players from lower ranked domestic clubs were actually overrepresented at senior levels. Coming from a top academy was not the advantage that everyone assumed it to be. And so what the researchers concluded is that the pathways to senior international level play, like playing for a national team, are dynamic, they're not linear, they're highly individualized, and junior participation is not a prerequisite for senior success. And a third of Sweden's best players weren't even in the system until late adolescence, high school aged. And a chunk were never in the youth system at all. So what this tells us is a couple of things. One, the only pathway to success is not early development. Okay, there are, as you heard in the statistics, a third of the people that playing at that level that were early risers, right? They were successful at an early age. They were at a young age, very adept at the sport, very achieved a lot of success. But what they found over time is that even when people broke into that senior level, that national level early, they didn't necessarily play on those teams for long periods of time. And so getting in early doesn't necessarily mean that you sustain. So the people across the national level, no matter when they entered playing for the national team, seem to have around the same number of caps, the amount of games that they've played internationally, with no huge differences between when they were selected in. So even if you reach your potential sooner, it doesn't necessarily mean you stay in it longer, okay? And it what it really what this really speaks to, and I think in our US system, is that just because your talent is noticed early and you've put time and effort and energy into it doesn't guarantee you success moving up. But also that's only one third of people who are going to make really elite teams in more adult level, 18 plus type situations, because quite frankly, a lot of those kids who start so early burn out. Okay. And so what a really important thing to think about is just because somebody's talented at a young age doesn't necessarily mean they have the drive and the will to keep going to make it to those more elite levels. And it also means that because we as humans, we develop so differently and so uniquely that every kid develops at a different timeline. We're not all on the same timeline. And often, you heard, there's a whole third of people that made the Sweden's national teams that were not considered elite even into their teenage years, into their what we would consider our high school years, and didn't really show that promise until they got into their early 20s. And so talent development programs or subscribing to this idea that you have to be elite early, like playing travel ball at 8 years old, or playing, like being the best 13-year-old there is. What the research bears out is that actually doesn't guarantee success later in life. And there's no reason to subscribe to this idea that you have to specialize early. Because generally speaking, adults are just, we're not good at understanding what actually creates eliteness later in life. In the sense of looking at a kid when they're 10 and saying, this kid's going to be elite versus the one that's next to him that isn't elite yet. Because so much of development, so much of growing in your sport requires maturity, requires to figure out what your body's actually going to do once it matures. And sometimes people just need time to grow into the talent and the skill. And often sometimes it's the kids that were super talented when they were young who didn't have to put as much work in because they were naturally more gifted than everybody else that don't make those levels, because the ones that had to grind and to work for it have actually built better habits to be more successful later in life, okay? And the reason I bring this up is that a lot of youth sport today is dominated by this need to try to be elite right away. And what this does is it deprives people, our young people, of the ability to just grow at a pace that's going to work for them. And quite frankly, we start weeding people out too young, right? Saying, oh, they don't have what it takes. And we're dismissing an entire group of kids that weren't going to be good until later in life anyway. But because we've weeded them out of these teams, they end up leaving the sport, or they only a few stick around to become that elite player they were maybe destined to be. And so a couple of things I want you to think about as you're listening to this episode is, for you, if you're a kid listening to this, the most important thing that you need to, if you want to be elite, is to learn that you're going to get there at whatever time it takes to get you there. Some people around you, some of your peers and some of your friends might get there first, and that's okay. You might get there first, depending on your development and your growth. But the idea here is, the thing that truly matters, is it something that you want? And are you willing to put the time and the energy into becoming that elite player? Because it doesn't happen overnight. And even for the people that seem to be a little bit more physically talented at a younger age, once you get up to more and more elite levels, when this talent pool starts to normalize and everybody's very similarly skilled, they aren't always the ones that rise to the top, because they haven't always learned the work ethic. Now, there are many of elite players who were elite young, had very gifted physical talents, but also had the passion and the drive to work at it, right? It requires both. And so if you are an athlete who is currently maybe a little bit frustrated with where you currently are, the best advice I can give you is to remember that there is not one path to eliteness, however you've defined that. Whether that's playing on your high school team, whether that's playing for a national team, whether that's playing for college, there's many pathways to get there. And especially now in the new college landscape, where you can go play and develop at a junior college and not lose any of your eligibility, and just develop as a player and as an athlete and then get recruited to go play at a higher level. So there's no specific timeline. So if you want it, if it's something that matters to you, just keep plugging away, putting in the work, focus on getting better a little bit every day, and you will eventually see the progress that you want to see. And again, depending on your age, you know, you'd sometimes have to just let your body grow and develop and do what it's going to do. And you can't rush that, right? Unfortunately, you can't rush hormones and puberty and what are your body doing, whatever it's going to do. All right. So stick to it. If it's something you're passionate about, stick to it, put in the work, and you'll be fine. Okay. The other thing I want for the adults listening to this is to really remember kids grow at different rates. Okay. And try your best not to compare your kid to any other kids around them, right? Are they getting what they need to develop at their pace? Because sports shouldn't be, the end state shouldn't be fame, fortune, money, whatever. Most of what the value from playing sports is for kids is community, right? Friends, fun, learning work ethic, learning character, learning how to deal with tough moments and resilience when you make an error and it costs the team, or you make an error and you don't win the race or you don't get into the finals. Knowing how to deal with loss, recognizing you're not going to win every match, every game. It's impossible in sport. It'd be pretty tough for your entire sports journey to never lose. And so it's the character growth and it's the mental and emotional development that people gain from playing sport. And as the adults running these opportunities, when we lose sight of that and we make it all about competing or ranking, we're depriving our kids of a really fundamental opportunity to grow and to develop. Okay? So just something that this post spoke to me. I think other countries' youth development systems are so much better than ours because they focus on every kid playing. And naturally, they'll select out the ones that really want to be elite will. But our U.S. system seems a little flawed right now, that we're so focused on the business of sport that we're not really focusing on what kids actually need, which is a place to grow and to thrive and to be challenged and to try and to fail in a safe space that, you know, consequences don't really matter in sport, right? Sure, go fall on your face. Go try hard and fail, right? Their life isn't on the line. Their grades aren't on the line. Nothing really matters in the grand scheme of things. Now, of course, when they're getting up to more elite levels and trying to earn scholarships or something, sure, maybe it matters a little bit. But any good college coach worth their salt knows how to look past an individual loss or an individual moment of failure, because they know the kid, when they get into college, is going to experience those same failures. Shoot, playing at the national level, playing for a professional team, they're still going to lose. They're still going to have downtimes. So learning how to deal with those is the more important thing. I don't know, just food for thought. I'd love to hear what you think, but let's dive into some questions. All right. So a quick reminder of the rules. Remember, there are no wrong answers. Take turns talking and listening. Try to minimize distractions as best you can. And remember that you can pause after each individual question, or just listen to all of the questions and discuss whatever you feel like talking about based on the prompts. All right, so let's talk our first question. Do you ever feel pressure to be ahead of the other kids your age? And if so, where do you think that comes from? Are you putting that on yourself? Do you think it's coming from the adults in your life? I don't know, talk about it. Okay. And a follow-up for the parents, depending on what's said, okay, what do you think you can do to, if it is coming from you a little bit, what's the fix? What's the solve? How do you guys get on the same page with not creating that pressure? All right, a second question. If being elite early doesn't guarantee long-term success, what skills do you think actually do matter as you get older and try to build your eliteness in your sport? What do you think matters? What are the characteristics that do you think elite coaches, elite teams are actually looking for in their kids? What do you think? All right. This one's a little bit more for the parents specifically. What do you think would change for your kiddo and their experience in sport if the approach to sports, if our main goal was building character and resilience instead of rankings and teams and trying to earn a college scholarship. How do you think that might change the experience for your athlete? Let your athlete talk first. But also think about that as an adult. Like, what goes behind the decisions that you make for your kiddo as they pursue sports and you guys as a family choose teams? And I'm not going to pretend that these are easy answers, because I know often in the U.S. system that there's not a lot of good options. Okay, even though you might want to focus on development and give your kid time and space, maybe the only team available to them is a travel team. So again, this is not meant to happen in a vacuum. We recognize that the youth sports space in the U.S. right now is a little bit broken. Okay, but think about that. What could you try to emphasize? What could you look for in a team to make sure that your kid is getting the best opportunity possible for long-term growth and development, not just as an athlete, but as a human? Okay. Our final question today, thinking about the athlete themselves, if you're listening, if you picture yourself 5 to 10 years from now, what kind of athlete and person do you actually want to be? And what kind of team do you envision yourself on? What do you think you would need to bridge that gap between where you currently are and that vision that you have for yourself? And there's no one right way to do that, okay? And even whatever vision you come up with today, that might change in a few years. That's okay. We don't always want the same things. I know I had very different goals as a 8-year-old. I was still envisioning pitching for the major leagues, right, at 8 years old. When I got to 14, I realized that, okay, that wasn't a thing that I wanted anymore, okay? So it's okay if that long-term vision changes over time. But where you are right here, right now, whatever that vision is for yourself as an athlete, what do you think? What do you think would bridge the gap? What are some things that you can start working on today that would set you up for success to reach that vision? And parents, as you listen to that vision, what do you think are some of the supportive things you could do to help facilitate that? All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to CarRide Conversations for Sports Families. If you found this episode helpful, please consider sharing it with somebody in your sphere, a fellow athlete or sports parent you think might benefit from this conversation. If you are looking for more weekly tips and mindset shifts and conversation starters to help your athlete be confident, calm, and clutch, please consider subscribing to my newsletter at www.confidentcalmclutch.com/newsletter. And as always, if you're looking for a specific topic for me to discuss, you can hit me up. My information is in the show notes. And you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram at @VAlstonCoaching. You're welcome to DM me there. I'm always open to ideas that you all have. All right, y'all. I hope you have an amazing day. See you next time.